All right. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Sell by Being Human podcast. I'm your host, Alex Smith, and this is the podcast where we can learn from people in all walks of life that sell things through the lens of human connection. I think we can learn human skills from people all around us. This is the podcast where I will bring the very best of those people together, and I have one of those people here with me today. She's someone I've followed on LinkedIn for years now. We were just talking before. You know those people on LinkedIn. When you meet them for the first time, you just feel like you're friends already. That's definitely her. And I got to meet her in Tampa at one of her awesome sales outbound training events, which I highly recommend. This person is a founder. So she's the founder of a sales-led GTM agency. She also is a founder of an awesome company that runs a ton of like awesome outbound events. So she has one coming up in Chicago in the middle of April that she'll talk about, and we'll have all the notes for. She's been head of sales for three times, LinkedIn top sales voice. She's been an individual contributor and led sales teams. And now she's a consultant. She's helping companies do it for their sales reps. I'm so pleased to welcome none other than Leslie Vinetz to the podcast. Welcome, Leslie.
You know what your intro reminded me of, Alex? Did you ever listen to that podcast where the entire podcast talks about the history of a really famous person, but they do not tell you who it is until the very last 30 seconds. So you're listening to this description of this just in life incredibly well lived. And you're like, who the heck is that? And then in the final 30 seconds, they're like, and
that throws you for a loop. Nothing obvious. Well, yeah, hopefully. Yeah. Maybe it wasn't too obvious. Some people may or may not have known, but like, you're definitely worth the intro. And then, you know, you can't hear it now, but there's an air horn, you know, is there something? Yeah. Yeah. Something for that. But anyways, you know, Leslie, I really think you'll be great for this, because while we do bring people on that are, you know, sales coaches, practitioners, top salespeople, we also bring in people that are in all sorts of professions that most people wouldn't consider sales. We've had magicians on here, Oz Perlman, who's an illusionist. We've had Daniel Pink, authors. We've had some amazing people. You're one of those people. And what I like to tease out is, or we talked about it, skills that are not things that maybe, you know, are necessarily just for quote unquote quota bearing salespeople. These are skills that everyone throughout all walks of life can really help and unlock the human side of sales in themselves to really, you know, help gain influence, get people to listen to you, just help make change. And so I always like this question because, you know, it's really, I ask all of our guests, and I'd love to know where you take this, because you teach this stuff, but you also possessed it long before you were a coach, I feel like, or a sales practitioner. When I say the term to you, Leslie, sell something, but sell it by being human, what does that mean for you? And what do you think about when you hear that phrase?
I would say that means don't sell it at all.
Say more. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Which maybe is an unpopular opinion for somebody that literally teaches people how to sell. But I think like when we talk about selling by being human, Alex, it's a call to develop a deep enough understanding of the problem you're solving that you have the ability to be like a guide versus a sales professional. And I think like the sell by being human part, especially, humans deeply crave, most humans deeply crave the ability to be helpful. And I think most humans crave the opportunity to connect. And if we think about that in the lens of sales, it's how can I connect with somebody and develop a deep enough understanding that I can truly help them make the best decision for themselves. And gosh, that would be great if it's me, if it's my product or service. and I can help them best implement it, get the most out of it. But sometimes it also means it's not me. And I have to say, this isn't the right choice for you. Here's some competitors, or I actually don't think you need anything right at all.
Yeah. I love that distinction and the intention with which you said it, because some people might go, well, wait, I'm in sales. Like, I am selling it. Like, sales isn't a dirty word, and you're not saying it is either, but you're saying to kind of reframe, you know, just your approach and your intentions. Because, like, I say it on my LinkedIn, like, my understanding strategy is my sales strategy. And so, like, you know, there's a difference between solving a problem for me and, like, being a, you know, problem solver. Everyone, like, in sales is, I want to be, like, I'm a solution seller, a problem solver. And, like, I get what they mean by that, but, like, that's not as good to me as, like, what you were saying as, like, being more of a, you know, understanding of the person and being a problem finder. You know, those are two separate skills, and I feel like, and you're nodding your head, for anybody that's listening to this, is, you know, difference between a problem finder and a problem solver. You know, one is like, I can do this. I can help this person. I know, like, my thing or whatever is the thing. But, you know, that's for the person to determine. And when you come across as somebody that's like, hey, I just genuinely want to connect and understand you, that feels a lot better. And even if it's not, you know, something where you change the person, they buy from you, at least they know, you know what, that Alex Leslie, they had my best interest at heart in the end. And if I ever had a need for anything, I'm going to think of them. So, like, what do you think about that? And, you know, just approaching things like that.
Yeah, I think it's 100% true. And two things popped into my mind as you were sharing your thoughts. One is that one of the things that I train on is active listening. And so I have a 4R framework that I have rolled out. And one of the R's is resist. And one of the things that we talk about under the umbrella of resist as a practice in active listening is resisting the urge to be helpful before you can be, like, resisting the urge to be helpful, because, like, you think you should.
Being helpful, you're playing, like, that role.
Instead, waiting and keeping the spotlight on the prospect. And this works for everybody. It works for your family, your friends, your partner. Keeping the spotlight on them and really making sure that they are the one that is centered in the conversation instead of you. So one of the things that popped into my head straight away is that, like, selling being human also means you're probably not a great listener, because all of us, it's like something all of us need to work on, right?
Yeah.
And so maybe a call to action is to practice active listening. A core tenet is to resist the temptation to make it about yourself, whether or not that's jumping in too quickly by being quote unquote helpful, or by sharing your, like, relatable anecdote, because even though you're trying to be relatable and build rapport, you're still making it about you instead of keeping the spotlight on them. And the second thing I thought of is really an example of this coming to life during the pandemic for me. I sold to Fortune 500 chief procurement officers. That's the job I was in sort of pre-pandemic, and then selling to supply chain, right? In the part of a supply chain. What a treat.
Fun stuff.
It's not the first time I found myself in a job like that. During the Great Recession, I just graduated college. It was my very first sales job. And I was cold calling Fortune 500 CFOs during the Great Recession. So I find myself back in this position. But it's, you know, it's 2020. It's the only year in my entire career that I did not make or exceed quota. I finished the year at 87% because there were people who, like, maybe they could have bought, like, they probably would have gotten some value, but they were so overwhelmed, Alex. They were so overwhelmed. One of my customers is a national chain that does cremation. And I remember this, like, kind of makes me want to cry retelling the story because it was so hard to hear. But they were so overwhelmed that he, the chief procurement officer of the company, was going to the warehouse after work to put shipping labels on cremains to get them back to people. Right? So like just picture how overwhelmed this persona was that I was selling to. So I walked away from a lot of deals that I probably could have pushed and gotten across the finish line in 2020. Do you want to know what 70% of my revenue was in 2021? It was all of those customers deals that came back that were like, oh, thanks for just listening when I needed somebody to hear me. Like, thanks for sharing the insights that you had visibility to, because I was talking to, you know, 20 CPOs a week. Like, thanks for just sharing those for free. It really helped me do X, Y, Z. It really helped reduce some of the sense of overwhelm. And do you want to know how easy those sales cycles were to run the next year? Yeah. Because the value awesome. Was there, the rapport, the trust was yeah. there. Yeah. So a real life example of it maybe being a tough decision to make in the moment, because it did cost me money. It did cost me my accelerator. It cost me my track record of always being at or over quota, but it felt right. And then I got the financial benefits the following year.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that story. And that is super tough. I mean, it's like, yeah, no one. Another thing is like, so like few people are doing that and making those tough decisions. So you stand out, you know, people remember that, you know, and whether you're doing it in a sales context with someone and you have a quota, or you're doing it to someone, you know, you've met, or maybe in your organization on your team, or, you know, like no one's like asking them those questions about like, you know, just what they might be going through. Like people, you know, people go, thank you for allowing me to talk, you know, and that sort of thing. So I completely, it doesn't shock me in the least that you do that. So I love that. You know, help me understand, like when I'm talking about these skills, because we'll talk about, you know, kind of how you advise people, because that could play out in so many different ways, how you put the spotlight on people before asking, you know, whether it's, you know, connecting on LinkedIn with people, it's, you know, in a sales cycle, in an email, and outbound. We'll talk through all that stuff. Before we get into those tactical things, Leslie, can you tell me a little bit about, like, you know, you growing up and like where you kind of observed some of these skills? Like, were they at home? Like, have you had friends of the family? Usually it's someone you start like seeing that they were just amazing with people. People just, they were great at active listening. Like, can you think of those people in your life? And like, what do you think that they did well that you've picked up, you know, throughout the years?
I think it was not a single person that I was just like, wow, you're off the charts with your soft skills, or whatever you want to call them. Soft skills are the most important skills, your EQ skills. I think it was seeing the bits of a lot of people, and they were the pieces of them that I was like, wow, there's something special there, or they make me feel seen or heard in a way that other people don't when they do this. I mean, I can certainly point to my dad, who, like, blue collar guy, grew up like extraordinarily poor, and really made his way, made a life for himself. And I would watch his adaptability, where he could be just chopping it up at the bar with, you know, all the other blue collar workers. And then the next day I would see him in a board meeting with just incredible executive presence. And that type of adaptability, that is a skill. That is a skill to make different people with significantly different lived experiences feels like safe and feel at home in your company. So that was, I think, a really early indication of the value of not just a hard skill, even though I was raised in a very blue collar family that was go up.
Get your hands dirty, Leslie. You're going to work on a car or something.
Like, I also grew up in a really like tight knit Italian family. And we are just like an emotional bunch. So like, I know that maybe that's not like the common sort of like how elder millennials were raised, with a common like immigrant family story that's like shove your emotions down. But like, my family was very I don't know, maybe just like more emotional, but I don't know if that's the right way to describe us. But I got like, I, as much as I got tough love and was taught the value of hard work, I also really got to see my own family balance the hard and the soft skills. And I really was empowered to find a lot of that in myself by being curious, by being independent, by being adaptable, by practicing my listening skills. So I don't think I really answered your question, but I saw it in a lot of people in a lot of different ways. And I think I took the bits and pieces that I liked best.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you see your dad like asking like questions of people? Cause whenever I hear people like that are adaptable, they're not like, yeah, you always train on not putting your spotlight on yourself and talking about I, and you know, we, and you know, like that sort of thing. And it's like, you know, asking about the individual, like, you know, tell me a little bit about, or, you know, and then that's a basic way, but just like, wow, like, you know, go on with that. Or like, can you go deeper? Or like, man, like that makes me think of this. Like, what do you think about that? Like, because that right. sounds like what that sounds like exactly to me. Like people are just like, doesn't matter, you know, class, you know, who you are, how much money you have. It's like, if your dad is sitting with people and making them feel seen, heard, understood, that's the name of the game, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, I, there definitely was some of that, Alex. Like he encouraged people to be in the spotlight, like to talk about themselves and like to sit in the spotlight. So I think there was certainly some of that. But I'm thinking like particularly about middle school, because where I went to middle school was like, I don't know, maybe a mile from his shop. He did commercial construction and he was a GM. So he was like, had an office in the shop. And so on days when I didn't have an after school activity, I would walk to the shop. And so I would like watch him work. And in that context, it was a lot of like him giving credit to other people.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Wow. And so you saw, which that's like a skill set, right? Like a confidence in your own position and your own expertise where you can, you don't feel like you always have to shine it on yourself. You give other people the credit and you give other people the spotlight. But when I had after school sports or after school activities, I would meet him at the bar, which makes me sound a bit of a latchkey kid. It makes me sound, it wasn't. It was like the time of my life. I could have as many Dr. Peppers as I wanted, as many quarters as I wanted. So I would just sit and like play pool and smash Dr. Peppers as like a 12-year-old.
Man, that's
like
awesome.
I was living my best life. Because he would get there after work and he would have, you know, a drink at the bar. And it was a different way of making people feel seen by making them feel like they were a part of it. That ability to like, you know, sometimes it's subtle as like rotating your shoulder out a bit when somebody comes up to a crowd. So it's easier for them.
Bringing them to come in. Yeah.
Right. Or, you know, even like taking your own words of being like, tell me more, help me understand. So that you just give them the space to go a bit deeper. And I mean, some of it, obviously, like you're just at a bar having a beer. So it's like just chopping it up and kind of bullshitting where like you're also maybe being a bit vulnerable about something you messed up or your boss that's also a jerk so that you're, you know, like one of the team. I don't know exactly how you would translate that into being like, this is the soft skill I saw.
Yeah, no. I like the giving credit. You know what? Nobody said that before, but like that is a skill. I don't know what you call that. Yeah, just putting like, you know, giving, taking your credit and giving it to someone, you know, you're seen as somebody that's like, not selfish or self-centered. You're actually lifting other people up and that feels really good. And it is a skill, like how you do it, ways you do it, like things like where it could benefit you totally to take credit for something. And that would, you know, be great for you. But, you know, maybe even lifting someone up that, you know, maybe didn't do something amazing, but like then you build them up. Like, I feel like, you know, I don't know, transferring belief, like that's what you're doing in sales and that's what you're doing by giving people credit. And I probably imagine like your dad, like a lot of people would look at that. Oh, you're like you said in the beginning, don't sell it. Like you're not selling it. But like how many people probably went to your dad and was like, you know what? I just love, you know, your dad. Like if I have a problem or whatever, and he has like a need, like I'm gonna like reach out to your dad, you know, and yeah. your dad didn't have to ask for the business.
Yeah.
You know,
like I'm gonna come to you for advice first.
Yeah.
Because I already feel like you're one of us.
Yeah.
And I already feel like there's some trust there and some credibility. So yeah, it became like a little referral.
Yeah.
A little referral, I love it. System. He was doing Nearbound before it was Nearbound.
I love it. We'll explain to folks what that is. So yeah. So tell me now, like, so you obviously you've had a great career as, you know, a top producer, then, you know, you're kind of, you know, leading sales teams. Talk a little bit about, you know, what led you to feel like, you know what, I have something here that's unique. To, you know, I like to always ask this of people that are founders, that are entrepreneurs, are doing their own thing. That's like, man, to start your own thing as a grind, you know, it's, you have to really be clear on your why and offer something that's really different than the market. There's tons of sales trainers, tons of consultants. Why did you feel like, you know, this is necessary that I need to, I believe something strong enough to you know, that I believe people have something that they need. What was that for you?
Yeah, it was a twofold why. There was a personal and a professional impetus to it. The personal side was I wanted more freedom than I could ever get in a corporate role. And I say that having been employee number one at a company. Like most of my roles, I've been first in country or first in seat or like first in product line. So I had like a tremendous amount of flexibility and freedom to like build things, products, teams, cultures, and my own image. And maybe that's why I craved it even more, where I was like, oh, I like this. Like, I want the freedom to work where I want and when I want and for who I want. That was extremely important to me because there are bad apples. And I didn't want to serve founders who I didn't agree with. And I didn't want to have to sell to companies that I didn't agree with anymore. So there was a huge freedom aspect in just being able to create the life I wanted for myself and being able to do the type of work with the type of people that I wanted to. And then on the professional side, everybody has seen probably at least one post this week where somebody's popping off claiming that cold calling is dead or cold email is dead or blah, blah, blah. Outbound sales get such a bad rap, which is nonsense, because outbound selling is the cornerstone of B2B revenue generation, like full stop. Like the data shows that like across B2B, over 80% of revenue is attributed to outbound sales motions, social selling, cold calling, direct mail, cold email. And I think so many folks that are doing a similar gig that I'm doing, instead of just doubling down and like calling it what it is, like we're doing inside sales, we're doing cold outreach, they try to rename it. They try to make it something other than it is. And that really bothers me because it sends the message that we should be ashamed of the work we do. And Alex, that just pisses me off. Like sales is a craft. It is a profession. I am extraordinary at it because I care deeply about doing a good job. And when other people try to pretend like cold calling or cold outreach is icky, and it's so icky that we need to rename it into something else, it's not for me. I pass on that. So that's part of it. And part of it is that, like, frankly, I am a unicorn. Like, very few people do enterprise sales. So like that already makes me unique, that I have sold to almost every single like Fortune 250 logo you could think of at the C-suite level. Very few people can say that. And very few women have been VPs of sales. Like very few, like we're talking like 14%. So when you add things up, like I'm an outbound seller, not inbound, that's rare for women. I'm a VP of sales, that's rare for women. I made it into C-suite enterprise sales, that's rare for women. So not only do I have the experience and the expertise and the conviction, but frankly, I have like a lived experience and a perspective that I can't right now think of another B2B sales consultant that can say they have that same level of expertise and experience matched with sort of the persona that I just described. So I am very special.
Yeah, you're a little like a unique snowflake. I like it. Well, well, talk about, like, because I want to let people in. Like, I spent a day with you, so worth the time. And it was different. It wasn't like the, all right, we're going to talk about this topic and this topic for an hour, and then we're going to have lunch, and then we're going to talk about these topics and, you know, give you some handouts. I mean, first sales training I went to where we had like a Zen moment, you brought in like a meditation, you know, practice, and, you know, we were, you know, like going in like small group sessions, and you brought Nikki Ivey in, and you brought a lot of like great, like just topics you don't typically like see. Like I loved like just her title alone, like I think it was something about human focused, you know, outbound, yeah. You know, frameworks or emailing, or, you know, strategies and things like that. And that keyword,
prospecting.
Yeah. Human guide to prospecting. Right. So it's like, I feel like maybe those people, what they mean to say is maybe bad cold calling or something, or bad outreach or something like that, that will always, you know, more so be, it's maybe dead because more people are doing it, and they're thinking it's dead because, well, it's not working. Well, it's because they're, you know, bombarding people with IA strategies or just generic, or, you know, now with AI, just total trash, you know, robotic, you know, automation. So, you know, talk to me a little bit about why you think you're, you know, some of the, like, yeah, walk us through maybe some of the things you teach on, like if people were thinking about, like, you have something middle of April, we're going to put all the info in it. Like what are you teaching folks on, and where are people finding the most success, you know, in changing their approach, you think, with you?
Yeah. First of all, thank you for your kind words, and thank you so much for coming. That event was very, very special. And yeah, we did carve out time for meditation. We carved out time to move our bodies. We carved out time that was specifically held for gathering and like being at the table together, because it doesn't matter how much you practice your skill sets. Like if you don't have your mind right, you are never going to be an elite performer consistently. Like you're never going to be able to make a career in sales. So I think that the mindset and the skill sets have to go hand in hand. And that's the type of event I would have wanted to attend in my career. So I just made it.
I love it. It was great.
I really appreciate that. And to your point about many of the folks that are saying, you know, the clickbait cold calling is dead types of posts, there's a pretty big Venn diagram overlap with those folks and the folks who will then say, like, I have a new strategy for warm calling. And then they will go on to describe doing just the most basic preparation ever before a cold call. So they're often just describing how to do cold calling properly. They're not making anything new. Like they're just describing the basics. But to answer your question about what changes I'm seeing people make that are having like a fundamental impact on their ability to get attention, particularly like top of funnel attention, top of funnel being like before they agree to meet with you for the first time. One of them you already called out is being extremely cautious about the I to you ratio. How many emails, audit your inbox right now, folks. How many emails, maybe if you really want to go hard, have you sent? But if you're not ready to go there, at least look at the emails you've received that are like, hi, I'm Leslie. I'm your account executive. This is my company. We sell. I want. They are just this extraordinarily writer-centric or seller-centric language. And by simply pivoting to more reader-centric language, you're like significantly more likely to get somebody to read and reply to your message. And, you know, one of the things we talked about in the masterclass, and for anybody that follows me on LinkedIn, you see me talk about the concept a lot of earning the right. And I think this is such a good like litmus test for folks to take through their entire sales cycle. Be like, I'm going to send this email. Before you send the email, what have you done to earn the right to ask the person to take the time to give you their attention? Before you get on a discovery call, like how have you prepared to share valuable insights on that discovery call to have like earned the right to make the ask of that person to spend, you know, 30, 45, 60 minutes on a call? And that continues through the entire sales cycle. Like, what are you doing at every point to make sure that your asks for a person's time and attention, consideration, and ultimately, you know, budget and business are rooted in being relevant, in being valued, maybe in just making them feel heard and listened to? But what are you doing to earn the right to sell to somebody? So I think that that's a really big one that I work with a lot of folks on. And I would say the other one that I'm seeing a lot right now, and this is like minutia, but is how people are using or misusing cold calls. And what I mean by that specifically is that I talk to a lot of people who are like, I do cold calls and it doesn't work for me. And it's not because it's not working after people pick up. Like if they get people to pick up, they do okay. But they're like, nobody's returning my calls, or I made 100 calls and I only spoke to one person. I'm like, cool. Well, what, like you obviously have all these phone numbers. What else are you doing with them? And the answer is nothing. Or they're like leaving a voicemail and all they say on their voicemail is like, hi, Alex, it's Leslie from the sales-led GTM agency. Give me a call back at. And I blows my mind. So I know that that's really small, but I am rolling this out with multiple clients. And so I'm seeing this like crazy impact that we are changing their voicemail strategy so that their voicemail is designed to be read. Like assume that it's going to be talk to text read instead of listened to. So you really want it to be less than 30 seconds and you want it to really look a lot like your cold email would look, right? So it's like less than 68 words. You're not starting with like, hi, it's Leslie Vinette's calling. You're just getting straight to the point. Like it's Leslie calling because I work with X and Y, or it's Leslie calling because relevant reason for the call, and not asking for a call back, but instead pointing to that piece of direct mail you sent. A LinkedIn Connect message, so that you're actually optimizing for the open rates, the open and read rates on those other channels. And then also considering texting. Like we're using a lot of cell phones. These are not personal cell phones, folks. These are their company cell phones that their company pays for. Like these are their chosen work phones now. So I am pushing folks to test texting more, maybe not straight up just cold texting, but you leave a voicemail and maybe the first time you leave a, like you do a phone call and the first time you leave a voicemail, and then maybe the second time you don't leave a voicemail and you text instead. And just being like taking a channel and instead of just pounding the phones, being a little bit more creative and a little bit more like intentional and strategic with how you are using it.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's a good, that was something I took away because a lot of
minutia.
I'm glad you went there. Like I can just attest to like your first question you asked the room was like, tell me your number one, prospecting, avenue. And people are like email. And I think I said like, phone or sequences or, whatever. And a couple of people said like, one person said Slack, one person said texting. I'm like, wait, how are you doing this. And yeah, I mean, it seems weird to say, oh, someone you don't know is messaging you over text, but that's what you're doing when you're emailing someone. And that's what you're doing when you're calling. Like, how less personal is it when you're calling someone's personal cell phone? And I've had, you know, I've called, you know, someone's business cell phone. They're at a soccer match, right? Yeah. And like, they you know, sometimes they're upset, but sometimes they're like, hey, like, I really want to, you know what? Like, I do want to talk about it. I need that. I just can't talk right now. Can we talk another time? Or, you know, they just remember. It's connecting all the different things, right? So like, it's no different. I think we're afraid because it's like, oh, texting someone, messaging them is so, you know, personal. And who am I to text someone that I don't know to, you know, try to get in their attention. But if you're, as long as you're doing what you're saying, like, the reason why I'm reaching out is because just something really, like, you know, meant for them. And, you know, why you think, again, earning the right. It's such a basic question, but like, if you're probably asking, I think even like number one sellers could ask themselves that question and come up with like nothing, you know, sometimes. Like,
it's
or not
enough. Methodology. And sometimes when I audit my own stuff, I'm like, oof, this did not pass the test. It's time to go back to the drawing board. Like it is, it's simple, but not easy.
Simple, but not, so simplistic or easy. Yeah. I love that because, you know, if we were all just asking ourselves that, like, we're forced to like raise our games, you know, not just accept like, oh, if the buyer is like, it seems like they're into it and they're yaing us and to death and everything. They seem like they're into it. It's another level too when they're like, wow, like, I can't believe you went to this length, or like, wow, like I really need this. Like, this is amazing. Like that you found this, or thank you so much for this article or an insight or book or, you know, X, Y, Z. Cause you just like, I need to earn the right. Cause you know, we're not just given this. We didn't just show up, and this isn't just like, you know, given. We have to earn it. I love saying that. Like, I want to earn the right to, you know, win your business, and we're gonna do you know what we need to show value all along the way, right? So, I love that. I can't let you leave without like giving. I think people struggle with LinkedIn, and I'm sure you've been on tons of podcasts to answer this question, but. You know, when you were thinking, you're saying in the beginning, like, you know, some people like, you know, you know, we're trying to sell. I think the phrase you used was something like, there's a difference of being on social and being a social seller. Mm-hmm. And so many people are out here on LinkedIn social and they're just pushing stuff on people daily. I mean, you can't be who you are. You can't be a large, you know, influencer over a few thousand followers without getting bombarded with just stuff daily. So maybe talk like what's just a small shift. Obviously, I mean, you can't really fix all the bad apples out there, but like something that's just going to go above and beyond to like where people, you know, I think people struggle with like when to make the ask, like, have I done enough? Like this person, I don't know. Like, is it, they overthink it. Like, is it, you know, two or three questions and then I can ask, or like present my stuff after a while and they kind of lose sight that it's no different than talking to someone in person. But yeah, how do you coach on it? Cause you definitely do a ton of, you know, you have a lot to say on LinkedIn, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Gosh. So in general, how I approach making the ask is I do escalating asks. So like, remember that we are asking for something by sending an email and asking them to read it. Mm-hmm. Like, we're already making an ask immediately. So I like to do initial asks that are like CTA light. So worth a chat, right? Something like that. Like, I'm not saying to book time. I'm just trying to get like a verification that I'm going in the right direction. My next ask might be asking them to click a link, like look at a report I sent or a white paper, or maybe it, like click a link to attend a webinar. So it's a bigger ask, right? And then my final ask, because I will have assumed that I've earned the right, I've built the credibility, I've built the awareness, I've shown the relevance, to ask for the meeting. And so how that translates to LinkedIn, because often I work with teams where the reps aren't posting and the persona isn't posting. So they're like on LinkedIn, but nobody's posting. So it really is just like a sales play because there's no content to engage with. Just say the thing, folks. Say the thing. Here's what doesn't work on LinkedIn. What doesn't work is pretending like you were genuinely curious about somebody as a human. And then the moment they accept your invite, be like, just kidding. It was a bait and switch. I don't give a shit about you. I just wanted to tell you something. Like, that's a sure way to get blocked because put yourself in their shoes. That feels bad. Somebody reached out and you thought that they cared about you as a person. And then really all they cared about was selling you something and they do not care about you as a person at all. So don't do that because that feels icky. But it is totally okay to start a conversation by saying, Alex, here is the relevant reason for outreach and the reason I believe it would be valuable for us to have a conversation. That's okay. You don't need to send your calendar link. They didn't ask for it. But it's okay to be straightforward and transparent about your reason for outreach. And I think that's what gets lost in translation is that people hear that you like need to be social. So they're social and then just so quickly pivot to sales that it feels like you're getting the rug ripped out from you. Or they forget that it is social media. They forget that it is somebody's personal social media and they just go hard on sales. And they're like, here's my calendar link. And that also feels off-putting. So just be a normal human.
Makes a lot of sense. It seems hard for people to do. And I love that. Like, just call it out. Like, they're like, people are expecting an ask like, hey, I don't know this person. They're connecting with me on LinkedIn. It's not Facebook. It's not Twitter. It's not TikTok. They probably want to sell me something. So just what is it? Like, I've had people say, okay, I accept your connection. Like, even like, what are you selling me? I'm like, and I want to say I'm not, but I am. But like, you know, I was just trying to get to know you. Why are you trying to like, you know, go all the way there? It's because it's obvious, right? Yeah. So just say it like, hey, I thought it'd be relevant because of XYZ. If not, no harm, no foul. You know, I'll keep following your content, right? Like, at least, yeah, you know, like, at least it wasn't a dance around it. And like you said, a bait and switch or kind of a, you know, a icky, like fake, like, oh no, like I was just, you know, maybe you can take a look about this. You know, or like, are you interested in franchising? Are you like asking questions that are totally irrelevant? Like, that's not curiosity. That's like fake curiosity or relevance.
It's totally disingenuous and it doesn't work because people are smart and they know what's up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Leslie, I can talk to you forever. I just love you, my friend. You know, talk a little bit about, you know, before you leave. Oh, ask, actually, before we, you know, talk about your event, last question I ask everybody, if I asked you, you know, your husband, people closest to you, because it's all about the individual, the humans that we all are and that we're so unique, just something that is so totally Leslie, like it's something that's like, it, maybe it's an event, something that would only and could only happen to you, or something that he, you know, if I asked them, they'd be like, you know what? Oh my gosh, only Leslie does that thing. It's just so totally Leslie. What would they tell me?
Oh my gosh. I have no idea, Alex. I think that they would be like, Leslie is a mystery even to herself.
I like that. Okay, we'll take that one. Well, tell people about this. What do you do at this masterclass? If they're in sales, like what's all about it, and where can they learn more about you and the events you put on?
Yes. So the brand is Revenue Revelry. So if folks want to stay updated about future events, obviously follow me on LinkedIn, but you can also follow the company page for Revenue Revelry. And they are content-led events, B2B sales content-led events. And the idea is what we talked about earlier. It's that marriage of like mindset and skill set. So my vision is like events rooted in mindfulness, merriment, and movement.
I like those M's.
Sitting and like, right. Yeah. Love and alliteration. Revenue, revelry, movement, merriment. But it's like, nobody wants to sit in a windowless conference room and just get talked at all day. Like, nobody wants that. We're done with that. That's not how we're spending our time. And so They're awesome. I'm having a really good time. I love being you. I love teaching. Like I've really realized in the past 2 years doing my own entrepreneurship thing that like my sacred calling is so deeply rooted in knowledge. And whether that is like my business book club that I host and like reading and just discussing knowledge with other people or taking my, you know, 15 years of experience and expertise and sharing it as a teacher or a coach with my clients or just like through LinkedIn and TikTok, that I am so, so, so passionate about like un-gatekeeping knowledge for other people so that they can achieve their personal best. And so that is why I host the event. So we're going to have the one in Chicago, April 16th, and there still are a couple tickets for that. And then the next one is going to be in Denver in October, October 21st, TBD. Don't hold me to that.
Nice. Well, you're going to, we'll put some links in the notes and everything, but I love it. Merriment and movement and all the things, like it's just great. Yeah. Leslie Vinetz, thank you so much for attending, my friend, and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
And ungate it for us all.
Thank you so much.
Hey gang, this is Alex. Thank you so much for making it to the end. If you heard a quote you liked or got a little bit of value, drop me a line or a comment. It means the world to me. We have great human beings throughout all walks of life every single week who sell through the lens of human connection. And I'll see you on the next episode of Sell by Being Human. Thank you.